What's going on, guys? My name is Eitan Mosia. You know these sultry sounds from the Dynasty Diagnostic. What's happening, DTC family? I am here to tell you about bestfantasyfootballleague.com. It's actually been around for 19 years, and what these guys do is they allow you to play in any league format that you can dream up. If you want to play in a one quarterback, three running back, four wide receiver league, these guys got you. For Dynasty Leagues, best ball leagues, redraft leagues, whatever your little heart can desire, bestfantasyfootballleague.com has got you this season. And on top of that, money is even no object with these guys. If you want to be the type of dude that's putting in $20 into this league and wants to see if these players work out, you can do that. If you're the type of guy who's willing to take a stand on the hill of a guy like Damian Williams and tell everyone that he is a top five back and willing to put $2,999 behind that assertion, you can do that with bestfantasyfootballleague.com. All you have to do is go ahead to the Dynasty Trade Calculator website. You can click the banner at the top. You can also click Join the League on the right-hand side. It'll take you straight to bestfantasyfootballleague.com, and you can play against me, Stompy, John, JP, Izzy, all kinds of people from the DTC family on any of their leagues this upcoming season. Again, bestfantasyfootballleague.com, guys. I expect to see you there. See you on the next one.
Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast, a show dedicated to Dynasty fantasy football trades and player values, with your hosts, John Paul Hurley and Izzy Elkafas.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast. John Paul Hurley joining me, Izzy Elkafas, a.k.a. the Pharaoh of Fantasy. What is up, man?
What up? We got a big morning here. Another morning podcast with big news. Let's go.
I screwed up, dude. I totally screwed up. So last week, you may remember this. I got called out on Twitter. I got to find out who did it because he deserves a shout out for this callback. But I screwed up because last week I mentioned how little news we've had this offseason relative to previous offseasons. Usually there's like 500 injuries right now to talk about, and it's been really quiet like so far. And then all of a sudden, all at once, just a big, huge bomb was dropped on fantasy football, NFL football, dynasty, whatever you want to call it. And we've got a lot of stuff to cover. It was totally my fault. I feel terrible for doing this.
Oh, so somebody called you out for jinxing it.
Here it is. Brian McNeil on Twitter, at bmcneil17. He said, you had to go talking about how boring the preseason was. Lucky you get to break down this Lamar injury news this week. And I think this might have been pre-luck news. And he actually wrote lucky in his tweet.
Oh, no.
Wow. So here we go. We got some stuff to talk about this week, Izzy. Get those chops juiced up. Ready to go.
Ready.
And we also got a special guest this week. A guy that is on his second appearance. So he's turning into a veteran right now. It is Matthew Betts on Twitter, at the Fantasy PT. He's a board-certified orthopedic clinical specialist and physical therapist. Did I get all that right, Matt?
You got it right. Nailed it.
He works for the Redshirts FF Pod. He's actually a host on that. He's an injured analyst for the FF Ballers, if you've heard of them, the Fantasy Footballers. And also Fanium Fantasy with Mr. Nicholas Whalen and the wonderful staff they got over there. Member of FSWA, Matthew Betts, welcome to the show again.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man. I'm excited to be on with you guys. Unfortunately, a time that we have to talk about, like you said, very, very bad news. And happy to be back with you for the first time since the first time you ditched me and I had to hang out with Bosch. So
that's right. Yep. Oh. You snuck in without me.
Yeah. You ditched us on that one. So that was sad, but I'm glad we're finally on this thing together.
You've got a very interesting point that you make there. So like whenever you appear on podcasts or whenever you talk on your shows, you've got like bad news to talk about. It's kind of like, you're kind of preparing people mentally for when they hear your voice, it's bad news.
No, well, a couple of the guys we're going to talk about today, I'm going to give you guys some good news. So I'll try to change my voice based off of if it's positive or negative.
If you scream, just make sure you back up from the mic a little bit, okay?
Got it.
You might get slapped on the hand from the producer. But you know what? He holds the keys of the Jeep, so we got to follow what he says, you know? So that's a good point. Like, just really quickly, we want to let you know that we're going to talk about Lamar Miller, obviously, in the podcast. Amari Cooper's got some foot problems, AJ Green's timetable, Cam Newton's just a plethora of injuries that he always seems to have, and he was actually carted off, I think, was he not? Or did he make it off on his own power?
No, I think he walked off on his own power.
Gotcha. And then guess what? I'm not sure if you guys heard, but there's some Andrew Luck news that we'll probably have to cover, and that's kind of surrounding also his injuries throughout his career, so a lot of things to talk about suddenly, so let's get to it. Let's start with Lamar Miller. What do you guys say?
Yeah.
So I want to start with Matthew. So Matt, can you kind of break down this injury for us, and then I'll maybe throw it to Izzy to talk about what people should be doing with Lamar Miller and like the guys surrounding him from a dynasty perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. So if any of your listeners already follow me on Twitter, I did post a screenshot of the mechanism of injury with the knee injury to Lamar Miller from last night. It's not looking good for Lamar Miller. He took a hit to the outside of his left knee from a defender as he was being tackled while his foot was planted on the ground, which is very important because as your foot stabilizes, your knee can't really, there's no room for air, I should say. So basically the knee sees all the stress, knee dove inward. You can see the angle of the knee there. It's a mechanism of injury that is a definite MCL injury. I'm confident the team is going to say that. And right now the team is fearing also an ACL injury on top of it, which I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, if you look at the picture, you know why. And with ACL injuries, you know, MRIs always tell you the story. So he will get an MRI and the team will confirm probably by the time this podcast comes out, you will have already known. But ACL injuries and the testing that we can do on the sideline for ACL injuries is very reliable. So if the team is reporting that that's what they're fearing, that's most likely what's going on.
That's crazy. I'm actually looking at your tweet right now. And for as gruesome of an injury as it looks on that frozen screenshot that you've got, the gifts that follow in replies to your tweet are equally hilarious. And just like there, I just got to describe to you, like there's like the one of Michael Scott from The Office where he's like just kind of like cringing his face. There's like the one from Friday where Ice Cube and Chris Tucker are going like, damn, like that one. There's just like a plethora of gifts. This is good. I'm going to have to add to this one. So if you're listening to the podcast, check out his tweet. Just throw a gif on here in your response to this screenshot that Matthew decided to put on his timeline. So, Izzy, what do you think about this, man? So it sounds, I think we can assume safely that it's ACL. He's going to be out for a long period of time. Talk about him and then the guys around him.
Well, he's toast. I mean, his dynasty value is toast. And then moving on to, I don't even think we need to talk about his dynasty value because I think everybody agrees that his dynasty value is toast, right?
I would say so. I mean, really quickly, there's obviously, you wouldn't consider buying him for really cheap because it's just not.
No.
And if you own him, I mean, dropping him on IR and just kind of hope and pray that he ends up coming back in like 5 years, right?
Yeah, I mean, the odds of him having the ACL injury, coming back from it, avoiding any sort of running back backfield committee is slim to none. I mean, he's screwed.
Oh, and by the way, I'm sorry, I'm laughing at some of the gifts that I searched for OMG gross, and there's some really good ones in here. I'm so sorry. Matthew, really quick before we move on, is there, with this screenshot, I'm just looking at it, and I have no affiliation with the medical industry whatsoever, but is there a possibility for something additional to ACL here with this angle? Because it's like...
He said MCL.
Oh, you said MCL also. Okay.
Yeah, so that MCL sits on the inside of the knee, and whenever you see the knee dive inward like that, that's the ligament, the MCL, that gets stressed the most. So I'm very confident in that. And then obviously, you know, we just talked about the ACL as well. There is still potential for additional damage inside the knee. Again, the MRI is going to tell the story there. So as soon as those MRI results come out, we'll know if there's any additional damage to either the cartilage or the meniscus inside.
Sounds good. Cool. Izzy, and then talk about some of the guys surrounding him. Is there anybody immediately that you want to try to, obviously, I don't think acquiring is probably the right choice right now because they're anybody's value is hot right now. But who do you think is the guy that will emerge as like the lead back in that system currently, or if they're not even currently in the system?
Yeah, so I'm a bigger fan of Crockett than Higdon just because he's more athletic than Higdon. And he had that nice breakout freshman season at Missouri. So I've always been a big fan of Crockett if he can stay healthy. But Higdon got the work after Lamar exited. And he got majority of the first team work when Lamar exited. And he's been getting it in practice as well over Crockett from what I've been seeing. So he's got to be the guy that's next up behind, obviously, Duke Johnson. And I'm talking about just behind Duke Johnson. Because if here's the deal. Duke Johnson, if he gets 250 carries and 100 receptions, he won't, because I don't think he's going to hold up. Like, he's going to get hurt doing that. I just don't see him being able to carry that sort of workload. He ceded carries to Isaiah Crowell for the beginning part of his career, and he's never really been a rusher of sorts. He's always been just the satellite back. So I have a tough time believing now, out of all times, kind of similar to the Damian Williams, but at least Duke Johnson, I don't know, he was a little bit more relevant. But Damian Williams is now being pushed into that 350 touch role, which I just don't see happening. And that's the same thing with Duke Johnson. So Higdon or Crockett will be relevant, assuming they don't go out and sign a free agent like JJ has been mentioned. And I think
sure DeMarco Murray.
Yeah, no, not him. But or they could just go out and trade. I mean, maybe this pushes them to trade for Melvin, hypothetically. There's definitely some options for the Texans. I would love for them to just not pick somebody up. I mean, I wouldn't mind JJ because I have him just kind of thrown on a couple rosters waiting for him to get scooped up. But I think right now it's Duke being the 1A. And I think the way it looks, it's Higdon is the 1B. I just don't see it being a 90-10 workload for Duke Johnson. I totally see this being a 50-50, 60-40 split.
Do you want to know my favorite trade targets that I could see them going after?
Sure.
I like Carlos Hyde. I think recently he's been leapfrogged on the depth chart, so I think maybe Carlos Hyde is expendable. And then I like Kareem Hunt, actually. I know that's kind of they have to wait a little bit, but I could see that coming to fruition. What do you think?
Yeah. I've seen the Hyde one on Twitter. I don't think that's a bad one if he actually does not make the roster. I mean, I don't see why they don't roster four. I mean, unless the two Williamses and Thompson are not special teamers, then yeah, maybe four is excessive. But yeah, I can see them letting him go, I guess. Kareem Hunt, sure. But I think they wait on the Kareem Hunt thing to see how it goes, because yeah, they won't get him till week 10 anyway, so they can probably just squat for the first handful of weeks, see if they're even in playoff contention or how they're doing. If their players are healthy, they have more leverage. If somebody gets hurt, then I can see them doing that. But I would say Hunt is on the outside.
I like the reason I like that too is because I think they acquired Hunt probably with the idea of moving him later. And then I think if they have a pretty good inclination of how good he's going to be, that'll determine whether or not they want to trade him right now. So, but we'll see.
Yeah. I think the thing that we need to highlight is Duke Johnson's ADP and value is going to be really overinflated. And for good reason, as he's the primary ball carrier now, or maybe not primary ball carrier, but he is the top running back point getter now, clearly. I worry about him handling that type of workload, just because he's been injured before and he's had concussion problems. I think 103 carries is the most he's had in his career. Just kind of bringing that up to 250-ish just seems excessive to me. So listen, I get why we're putting the value on to Duke. And if he handles that workload and he gets 350 touches, then yeah, he's going to be an absolute stud. So the reward is there. I tend to fade the top asset, the unproven top asset, which is Duke Johnson. He's proven in the passing game. I just don't know if I love him in the running game. So I'm going to go after the cheaper versions of the Texans running backs.
I like that. We can probably move on to the next player. Before we do that, Matthew, you briefly mentioned Jordan Reed in your discussion with Duke Johnson. Really quickly, that's kind of a compelling one that we haven't covered yet on the podcast. Do you have concern with Jordan Reed and maybe his career kind of coming to a conclusion as a result of this most recent one?
Yeah, I definitely do. I already had those concerns two concussions ago. I mean, this is now his seventh documented concussion. So I say that because, you know, in the game of football, you never want to leave the field, or presumably players don't want to leave the field. And so they may try to hide symptoms or try to, you know, pretend like they're more healthy than they are. So I say seven documented. Who knows what the number actually is, but we know it's at least seven. And we know that each concussion next in line basically does a few things. One is that it keeps increasing your risk for future concussions and brain injury, and then also increases the time that the player has to miss before they get back on the field. So I think it's going to be quite a while until we see Jordan Reed at all. And if I was helping him with his care, I would tell him at this point, it's probably not worth it.
Yeah, he seems like he's might be life-threatening one of these days. This is just getting out of control for him. So that's a good breakdown. Thank you for that.
So real quick, Duke Johnson has had two, and he has not missed any games. He missed had one in the preseason in 2015 and then one in 2017, but did not miss any games.
So you might consider them mild. And by the way, Matthew, like when somebody considers a concussion mild, are there still the same implications long-term that you're talking about with some more severe ones?
Yeah, concussions are a hot topic in that for a while we were kind of describing them as mild or severe. The truth is there really is no categorization of these anymore. So a concussion is a traumatic brain injury, basically, where the brain hits the inside of the skull. And so really what we're trying to do is in kind of the rehab field and medical field is move away from trying to diagnose these as severe or mild and really look at big picture and look at the athlete's symptoms of how they're responding. But to answer your question, you know, if he's gotten back on the field in a short time period, basically his recovery is quicker, right? Because it was his first concussion. And then there was 2 years in between his concussions. So we see problems start to happen where the lingering effects last longer if these concussions start to happen closer and closer together.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Interesting. So these might have been more spaced apart. So that's good. I mean, that's it's not good. But if your brain is plummeting against the inside of your skull, that's not good. That's not good for anybody.
Probably
is he, just judging by the look on your face, you probably suffered several concussions in your career.
I've had a dozen, not that many.
No laughing matter. Moving on, the next player that we got up for topics is Amari Cooper, which is having some difficulties with his feet. He's probably the sub headline for feet problems this offseason, second to Antonio Brown's feet. But Matthew, I want you to once again, I like this format. Can you break down what Amari Cooper is suffering with his foot problems, and maybe you'll have Izzy cover the dynasty implications surrounding it?
Yeah, for sure. Amari Cooper's injury is kind of, it's a little touchy. Like, it's touch and go because we're not really exactly sure the real diagnosis at this point. You've heard the first report that he's having some irritation of his plantar fascia. Then the next day, there's news that there's more of a ligament issue. And then 3 days later, now they're calling it an intrinsic muscle strain. So basically, all that tells me that they're not exactly sure of what the exact pain generator is in the heel and in the foot, because there's so many things that live in such a small area. There's not a lot of space there for all these small tissues and muscles. So all that to say, he's got heel pain, and it is likely to be a scenario that I think affects him off and on throughout the season. But the nice thing about this is Amari Cooper and his rehab team is going to do everything they can to keep him on the field. It's basically going to be a pain tolerance type of issue as the season goes on. So I would not be shocked to see Cooper with several DNPs on Wednesdays and Thursdays this season as they try to manage his reps and keep him healthy for Sundays. So I think he plays a full season. I don't know that he's truly 100% though when he's out there.
Can't they just fire, like inject him with, what is it again, where you inject the local area with something that kind of takes
cortisone,
the pain away? Yeah.
Yeah, that's one area that they actually try to avoid doing that. Basically what happens is if you get repeated injections into the plantar fascia, it weakens that ligament, and over time it can cause an increase in your risk for rupture. So they try to avoid it if at all cost. And for Cooper, you know, it sounds like it's pretty early in the stage of healing, and it's not like it's a huge deal at this point. So that's definitely not on their radar at this point.
Gotcha. And Izzy was thinking of, man, I'm having some brain farts with my injections, but what's the Botox? Izzy, when I was talking about injections to make it feel better, you were thinking Botox, weren't you?
Correct.
He wants to have a more full-looking foot. It's all about image.
All about image.
Yeah, you got to look good to play good, man, right?
Yeah.
So, Izzy, with that idea in mind, where you might see some DNPs aside from Amari Cooper's name on your starting lineup week to week, what do you think about this as far as his dynasty value and what this could do?
Yeah, I don't know. I think the biggest thing is people were talking about a big-name wide receiver that was going to be traded, and a lot of people have been mentioning like the Julio Jones. As somebody mentioned, DeAndre Hopkins, which I think is absolutely insane. I think the big name wide receiver that could be, a lot of people mentioned Mike Evans, which, sure. I think it's Cooper. I mean, if I were putting money down, it would be Cooper. Because if we're talking about his dynasty value, I'm less concerned about his foot and more concerned about him possibly being traded. Because if all with all the big name wide receivers, the one that makes the most sense is Cooper. They just signed Smith.
What about Brandon Cooks?
They just, yeah, he just keeps getting traded, poor guy. They just keep trading first for him. Every team just trades first for him. But Cooper makes the most sense. They just signed Smith to an extension. They want to sign Zeke. Dak is asking for too much money. They can't keep them all. So it would make the most sense. And Gallup looks like he's taking the next step. They have Cobb to play in the slot. So it would make a lot of sense for them to now move Cooper. So I think he is the name that's going to get moved, which I haven't. I mean, I don't know if you guys have you guys seen other people talking about it? I don't know why nobody else is really mentioning it, nope. But I think he's the guy. But as for the foot, I mean, I don't know. I love Cooper. I don't like feet. So any foot injury, I'm out.
Izzy doesn't have whatever the reverse foot fetish would be called. That's what Izzy has.
The phobia? Foot phobia?
Foot phobia, yeah.
But I'm out on skill position players with feet injuries. I just don't like it. I think Matt said that he gets days off. Matt, what are the odds that it could get worse?
It's definitely possible, especially if it's not handled the correct way the first time around. Basically what's going on here is, you know, the injury is going to be one that responds to like a cyclic pattern of, you know, he gets right in the week, goes out in the game, probably aggravates a little bit, gets sore, starts the week in rehab, feels better by the end of the week. I think you're going to see that recurring cycle. So, you know, certainly week 16 versus week 1, I think is going to be a different story. I think if you ask Mari Cooper how you're feeling in those two timetables, he'll tell you he's going to feel worse in week 16.
And Izzy, I'm going to have to call BS on you. You're out when it comes to, you said skill position players with foot problems. What about Julio Jones?
Yeah, I mean, I've always wanted to trade Julio Jones when he had the feet problem. I couldn't get, like, every time I tried to trade Julio, because I have him in a few leagues, I'd have to take a big discount because people were afraid of his injuries. And he's gotten to the point now where he's more valuable on your team than in trade in the leagues that I'm in. So yeah, I hate the idea of, I never bought Julio Jones or after the foot injuries. I just had a tough time being able to sell him for full value.
Okay. And Matthew, that's a really good follow-up question too. Are there any injuries that wide receivers have had maybe like within his tier, that have either recovered or gone the wrong direction with this, similar type of injury?
In Amari Cooper's tier?
Yeah. Is there somebody that, has suffered something very similar that has gone either direction?
Not off the top of my head. I mean, Julio Jones, I feel like, is the poster child for foot problems. But yeah, not off the top of my head as far as, you know, specific diagnosis of a plantar fascia injury or a foot muscle strain.
Randy Moss had one, didn't he? I think he had plantar.
Not to my knowledge. I don't know, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and he had a really brutal career, so.
Yeah, I think, well, you asked either way. I'm just saying, I remember him. Here we go. 2004, Randy Moss is running again after a bout with plantar fasciitis in his left foot. Okay. Dialing it back 15 years. He got it right.
There it is.
Wow. Randy Moss, you're old. I think you're dating yourself now.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I was, how old was I? 19.
It was like three. You were three.
18 or 19. Yeah. Wow. Eli Manning. Plantar fasciitis.
There you go.
And we know how that's really held him back.
Yeah, he always has a strange look on his face whenever he steps on that foot.
Yep.
Or it's just always a strange look.
Or just
look.
Anytime he's on the field.
So that's pretty good. Izzy, you mentioned a couple big-name receivers that you think could potentially be traded. Amari Cooper was one of them. What do you think about, like, A.J. Green?
Nah, maybe.
Like, maybe he could ditch his roots for a contender or something? Like, he's kind of winding down, so I could see him maybe trying to...
I think if you the names that make the most sense, I think Cooper makes the most sense, and then AJ Green, and then maybe Mike Evans.
Okay, so falling down the line.
Yeah,
and that's good too because we wanted to talk about AJ Green's injury specifically with Matthew. So same format, AJ Green, Matthew. give us a breakdown of what's going on with him, and then I'll pass it over to Izzy to talk about dynasty value.
Yeah, for sure. So for Green right now, it's a left high ankle sprain. Happened very early in training camp. He's been out ever since. They've been calling it, you know, a moderate grade injury, meaning it's probably going to be in the realm of about 4 to 8 weeks before he's actually back doing football things. And so basically for AJ Green, what, you know, fantasy owners need to know is everyone's saying he'll be back in the first few weeks of the season, and maybe he is, but I'm not confident in that. The second thing is, even if he is, let's not forget, if your foot is injured or your ankle's injured, you're not doing football things, getting into shape and really staying up with your conditioning work. So for me, it's going to be at least a full month of the season before AJ Green is truly back to himself. And then he does have this risk of re-injury with the left ankle. And let's not forget, last season, right big toe problems coming off of surgery in the offseason. All the reports say 3 to 4 months is the recovery for that. And that's basically back before patients are really back to kind of doing normal day-to-day stuff, not football things. So for that, he needs at least 6 to 9 months, which we're kind of right on the cusp of that anyway. It's just a situation where the re-injury risk is high with the ankle. The foot problems could recur on the right toe as well. So I think it's going to be a pretty rough season for AJ Green.
I think he's unsellable, to be honest. You got to basically wait for him to come back, and then hopefully he puts together a few games, and then you can sell him to a team that gets ravaged with injuries or that's contending, and try to kind of pull one on him. But I don't know. You got to hold AJ Green and pray. I just don't have much faith in him long-term anymore, even though I love him as a player.
And I think you kind of missed that selling window by maybe an entire year or more, right? Like, this is just he's stuck on your team. He's going to be Dez Bryant.
Yep. I mean, I don't think it'll be as, like, Dez just plummeted, like, overnight, it felt like. I don't think AJ Green has plummeted, because I think he comes back and plays, and hopefully can stay healthy for a game or two, but who knows at this point.
Yeah, let me see his current ADP. So I'm on fantasydata.com, who coincidentally sponsors our podcast. I'll talk about them in a second, but I'm looking for AJ Green's ADP. He's currently 53. This is updated as of August 2019. So I think his dissension is continuing. I think this is still I think he's still leveling out, you know. So at 53, I probably wouldn't consider taking him. What about you? That's a wide receiver 21.
No, thanks.
Yeah, at what point, and I think that the answer is never, but at what point would you consider taking him at all for some value and to try to move him or something?
It's hard. It's hard thinking startup, because it's just...
Because you have to avoid him,
I just know that I wouldn't take him as a top 24 receiver right now.
Yeah.
That as much I know. Maybe somewhere as like a mid wide receiver 3, I would start looking at it, which is crazy because he's just so damn good, but... 31-year-old, you know, lower leg injuries, a lot of foot injuries. I'm out. He out.
Yep, that's true. That's kind of sad. He's really.
Let's see here. Just out of curiosity, you're in the mock draft that we're holding right now, right?
Yes. I don't think he's been taken yet, did he?
No. Yeah, he went 807.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
So what is that? That's if you go 7 completed rounds, that's 84, right? 84 and then 7.
91st, and this is super flex, so obviously that gets pushed down a little bit more than like regular quarterback drafts, but yeah, that's still pretty low. So anyway, like I mentioned, Fantasy Data, check them out, you guys. Use the promo code Dynasty20 to get 20% off any subscription. This is one of the most powerful research tools websites you'll find in the entire industry. It's really cool. They've got free ADP, free dynasty rankings. Lots of stuff for DFS, redraft, NFL news. That they do lots of different sports. And check them out. Like, they're a great partner of ours. Again, Dynasty 20, 20% off your subscription services. FantasyData.com. So moving on, we've got, I think that's pretty good coverage of AJ, right? Should we move on to Cam?
Yeah, let's move on.
Cameron Jarrell Newton has come up with some injuries. And again, this is another one of those inexplicable cases of getting a lot of action in the preseason, and he's getting kind of nicked up. The team should really be more smart with these things, and people who have had a historic lineup of injuries, maybe just kind of resting them more. Cam Newton comes down with another injury. Want to see what the implications are around him long term.
Yeah, so week three of the preseason is when Cam just had his most recent injury. It was on a rushing play. You could see he planted his left foot in the ground and kind of immediately after that went down. And basically what happens there is when you plant hard on your foot and go to change direction in the opposite way, it's basically your foot is separated into the the forefoot, the midfoot, and the rear foot. So the midfoot is exactly what it sounds like, somewhere in between your toes and your heel. Lots of small bones, lots of small joints, but that's what gets stressed during those high velocity cutting movements. And for Cam, he's dealing with a sprain of those ligaments, walked off the field in under his own power, was seen in a walking boot after, but that's pretty standard as far as care for this injury immediately after. So I'm not concerned about Cam long-term with this specific injury. He should be fine. They're not going to play him, obviously, the rest of the preseason. He'll be doing minimal work in training camp, but he does have a shot to be ready for week one.
Very nice. Izzy, what's going on with Cam right now in Dynasty, in the Dynasty world? What are you doing with him?
I mean, what can you do with him? Like, the shoulder was a concern. Looks like he's starting to become a little, fragile, right? Fragile Fred?
Yeah, Chris Chandler.
Yeah. Whenever you ask these questions, I feel like you can't do anything but hold. Like, every time you ask him, I feel like, you just gotta hold. You gotta wait. And it kind of feels true with Cam. But man, his value is kind of from where it was a couple of years ago. He was arguably in the top two or three a couple of years ago, and now I think he's probably closer to quarterback 10 than he is quarterback 3. And I think he's only going to go down from here. Despite all the weapons that he has with Samuel and Moore and Christian McCaffrey, I mean, you got yak guys all over the place. He just needs to throw it like 5 yards and they'll do the rest. Even with that, I just don't trust Cam right now. So hold him. If he gets cheap enough, I'll buy him. I just don't love Cam anymore. I'm falling out of love with Cam.
You think there's any threat of him retiring as a result of all these injuries piling up?
Yeah. If luck just did, nothing surprises me anymore.
There's like maybe luck is starting a new trend, and like all of these quarterbacks are just going to start retiring in the next like year or two. That'd be crazy.
Yeah, we'll turn into like the CFL or whatever.
Yep, XFL, which is where luck's probably going.
Yeah, that'd be perfect for him.
And that's a good spot to move on to the anchor of the podcast and the anchor of everybody's, like every single person who has anything sports related to talk about on a podcast in the next week is going to be talking about Andrew Luck. So we'll do our best to try to give you some unique information so you're not listening to the same old grindy stuff on every single show. Andrew Luck. I mean, I'm going to have Mosier bleep this out for me, but I just tweeted one thing yesterday when this dropped, Izzy, and it's a holy f***ing shit. That's all I tweeted. I very rarely use profanity on Twitter. I don't really like to do that very frequently, but I thought this news warranted some sort of reaction that way. We were talking a little bit pre-podcast about Mosier and I were talking about if there's ever been such a significant retirement or news story. I don't think this compares to anything. I think this is bigger than the Calvin Johnson, Barry Sanders, just because those guys were kind of they were still in their quote unquote prime, but they were winding down. And Andrew Luck was like seemingly winding up, and he's gone. Like, can you believe that?
No.
So as a result of this, I'm gonna let Izzy talk first in this one. Then we're gonna talk about Matthew about all of these injuries that have caused Luck to retire. But Mosier, we're gonna get it right this time. Please cue up Izzy's and my favorite song by Sarah McLachlan, "In the Arms of the Angel," in honor of Andrew Luck retiring.
I try not to think about what might have been, 'cause that was then, and we have taken different roads. We can't go back again. There's no use giving in, and there's no way to know what might have been.
So, Izzy, obviously, it seems to me, I guess this is obvious to me, but Andrew Luck's value in Dynasty is complete zero. I think it's safe to drop him. Like, some people are going to hold on and be ignorant for a while, which I don't blame you for, because it's still shocking. But what the hell? I mean, this is legitimately, this would be the king of what the hell's going on out here with Izzy Alkafas talking about Andrew Luck. So just take it away, man. Go on your soapbox.
Dude, where do you start with this? Like, this is the Enron stock of fantasy football. Like, from hero to zero in a matter of minutes. Like, the Schefter tweet made his Superflex value go from top two rounds, arguably top 18 pick, to undraftable.
By the way, really quick, when you saw the Schefter tweet, did you double check the spelling of his handle just to make sure it wasn't a parody account?
But he has the check mark.
Exactly. I mean, like, somebody could photo. I had a screenshot of the tweet, so somebody could Photoshop in a check mark. I was skeptical as hell.
I was,
and I'm sure everybody else was. Like, this looks fake.
It took me about 4 or 5 seconds to realize it was real. I did. It definitely crossed my mind because it was out of thin air. It felt like. Usually this stuff gets like leaked, you know, Andrew Luck considering retirement. That's cool. Okay. Yeah. I can do something with that. I can move Andrew Luck in the league with that. Cause some people think it's BS, but it's just demoralizing your vet. Like, and this is in Superflex league. If you were rostering Andrew Luck, he was probably your QB1.
More than likely.
I mean, you could have, I have him in one league, and the only league that I have him in, I have Mahomes as my other quarterback and Stafford as my QB3, so I might be able to get away with it. But, and so there are going to be some teams with that exception where you have enough depth. But for most teams, you're screwed. That's it. Like, your season is in shambles. Now you have to go trade some of your assets and likely future assets for a quarterback, and it's just a snowball effect. At this point, I think if you're a team that has Andrew Luck, you bite the bullet on this one and you just try to make as best you can for the following years, and you almost take a redshirt year. I really think that's the way to go. But from a fantasy football perspective, it obliterates everybody's value too, in my opinion. I do think he comes back though. I really, really do. I tweeted it out. I think that him making a decision in such a short period of time seems pretty impulsive. You're an impulsive guy, Hurley, probably the most impulsive guy that I know. but I think you'd admit to that.
And I, coincidentally, I just bought a car while we were talking.
You got an ad, a Facebook ad, and you bought it.
It's a good deal.
Yeah. I think the magnitude of the decision that he made, it is pretty impulsive. Now, if this was something that he said it within the last couple of weeks, he really thought about it. But maybe this is something that's lingered. Somebody said that it's been something he's been thinking about. However, I saw that back in September, this is actually from Sigmund Bloom tweeted this out, Luck in September. This is a quote. It made me realize I love football and I love playing it. I love my teammates. It stinks when you can't do something. I do think I've gained a different appreciation. I'm much happier playing it than I was. Fast forward now, 11 months, and he's frustrated and he doesn't love the game anymore. Maybe he's a little emo here. This is quite a big, like, how do you go from that to this in 11 months? So I think the injury is more severe than it actually is, like being talked about. And it looked like there's probably a road to recovery, maybe an IR stint, and he just said, forget it, I'm done. I think when he gets healthy, he'll get the itch. I really do. Because he's just so good, and he loves the game, and he's such a good guy. I love watching his highlights of him getting blasted and then, like, congratulating the person for a good hit. Like, I just love that guy. Like, I want that guy to play. And I'd love to see him try to win a Super Bowl, the whole thing. But he's coming back, you know? That's just... I'm an optimist. What do you want me to say? Josh Gordon, always coming back. Yeah. Wide receiver one, you know. Andrew Luck coming back. QB1. Let's go.
Is he an optimist in the same sentence? Rarely exist, but in this
Isn't
case, I
weird?
Guess it's happening. Yeah, it is really weird. And I have to disagree, just because I think I don't think he'll stay away from the game. Due to your points, but I don't think he'll come back as a player. I think he'll come back as a contributor, maybe like a quarterback's coach or something like around the team, surrounding the team, like maybe like in the office. I think he would stink in the booth, as we were talking about in our group text message conversation. one of our buddies nailed it. He says he's not going to go in the booth. Like, it's terrible. It'd be awful. I could barely listen to him announcing his retirement, let alone like, and that was the most compelling thing he could possibly have as a topic. I don't think I could listen to him ramble about the quarterback position. Like, Tony Romo is elite. Andrew Luck just doesn't have whatever Tony has, you know?
His voice would get for 3 hours would be really yes. tough.
And for such a, he's like an elite, smart guy. Like, he went to, you know, a high-end school, like Ivy League, right?
Stanford, but it's the Ivy League of the West, so good idea.
There you go. So, like, he's just, like, unable to string together, like, thoughts in a very like interesting way. It's just like, I don't know what it is exactly.
He's kind of like, he's not monotone. It's kind of Ben Steiny, even though he's not monotone. It's just not good. He's got to get it fixed if he wants to go in the booth.
Yeah.
Maybe with all his free time, he can do that. But maybe, I mean, you might be on the right track. I don't know. I think that he's having a newborn, baby's coming. He's excited for the baby. He's more focused on family. What's going to end up happening? The baby's going to come in. He's going to have to change his first diaper. There's going to be a blowout. There's going to be shit everywhere. He's not going to like that.
He's going to want to he's going to want to play catch with the baby. The baby's not going to be able to catch a football for shit.
Yeah, sleepless nights. His wife's going to make him get up and get a bottle. And he's going to take, I think, the first opportunity that he has to start traveling with a team and playing and just get an excuse to get away. He's going to jump all over that.
He's got $100 million, so there's any opportunity to
he's
get away.
He's not doing it for money. Yeah, he's not doing it for money. He's doing it to get away. Like, want to get? It's like the Sun Country commercial. It's gonna be Luck changing a shitty diaper and waking up in the middle of the night. It's gonna say, "Want to get away? Fares as low as $49."
Or Calgon. Do you remember the old Calgon commercials? Calgon, take me away, or maybe I'm too old.
No,
for that.
You're too old, dude.
Son of a bitch. I want to throw it over to Matthew. Matthew, even without a medical lens on this one, I want to hear, I want the non-medical lens approach to this, and I want to see like what you think, because this is just a devastating fantasy football topic, and I don't want to hear some fantasy football stuff from you, because I feel like we grind you for your medical knowledge, and we never really get around to hearing your opinions around like just general fantasy football. So talk to me about what this means to you, and walk me through how you felt when you saw this break.
Like you guys, absolutely shocked, and did the same thing with the Schefter tweet. I was like, he had to either have his account hacked or this is the fake Adam Schefter who's gotten me many times before. I was like, I'm not letting that happen again.
Yeah, and it's actually, he's the one that has the N in his name, Schefter.
Yes, yes. But man, I mean, absolutely shocked. I honestly, I was sad last night, like going to bed, I was sad.
Yeah.
And I was trying to explain it to my fiance, and she was reading or something beside me while I was watching the game, and she's like, what's going on? Like, what's the deal? And even this morning, waking up, like, still just hard to believe. A player in his prime, 29 years old, where the news broke while he was on the sideline, and then watching the fans boo him as he walked off, that was tough to watch. So, yeah, I mean, I wish him well. I honestly hope he gets right from a medical perspective, because he's been in pain, like he's been saying, playing at less than 100% for 4 years now. So, yeah, it's a bummer to see him go. I do feel like Izzy's onto something, that later, maybe in a couple of years, when he finally gets right from a medical perspective, even if it takes 2 years, like, he's still going to be 31. And obviously for a quarterback in the NFL, he could play for another 6, 7, 8 years and do well. So I wouldn't be shocked to see him come back. But yeah, when he does come back, I hope it's at full strength and full health, not to get away from poopy diapers.
And this is compelling for me. So another guy from Fantasy Footballers, I'm not sure if you've heard of him, Andy Holloway. He's not very well known, but I thought he tweeted something out about like somebody, and it was like a quoted tweet, somebody who just finished like a startup draft, Dynasty, literally like 30 minutes, or actually, I don't even think they finished it. They were during the draft, and they drafted Andrew Luck like literally like 30 minutes before the announcement. Can you imagine how devastating that would be? And like, Izzy, from a functional standpoint, do you give somebody like a mulligan for that? Would you like restart the draft or let the guy choose a different guy or something? What would you do?
If we'll give me the scenario again.
So Andrew Luck, 30 minutes prior to the news, was drafted in a dynasty startup. As a commissioner, would you let the guy go back and choose the next best available with that hasn't been drafted yet? Like give him an extra pick, basically?
Honestly, as a commissioner, and I would probably say it's wherever the draft is. And this is probably against what most people would do, but I would toss in a compensatory pick for him. So, yeah. Like, you get to just now pick another player. You obviously, so if he got drafted in the second round and now we're in, like, the sixth round, I would just give him another sixth rounder.
Yeah, and that's kind of like the consolation prize, but it is something.
I mean, what would you guys do? I mean, I feel like that would be the minority. Most people are jackasses and say, oh, that's just tough luck. It's on him.
Tough luck, I get it. Matt, what would you do?
Yeah, I hadn't actually thought of Izzy's scenario there, but I kind of like that. I feel like, I don't know, I'm kind of a softy. I feel bad for people sometimes. Yeah. I feel like I would honestly let the guy pick again, or depending on how far into the draft it was. If you're like four rounds later, then I don't think you can go back and redo all that, because obviously that affects every other owner in the league. But yeah, if it was like two picks after or something and they found out the news, like, yeah, just go back a few picks, let the guy pick again. Obviously, he would never have done that if he knew what was happening. So, yeah, it's a scenario that I think if you are into a draft and you're multiple rounds after the fact, I actually like Izzy's proposal there. Let the guy get a compensatory pick.
Now, the producer, Mo, and I actually had the same question pre-podcast, and he said that he would probably allow the entire draft to be redone, even if it had been concluded, to account for this luck news, if that was the timing. Izzy, what do you think about that?
Start the draft from scratch? No. There would be too much information gained from other parties. So, like, yeah, they saw the first four rounds. They know some players could get drafted versus others, and now you're really shifting everything. At the end of the day, if it's the first, like, 6 to 8 rounds, give them the compensatory pick. If it ends up being like later in the draft, like 14th, 15th round, I would just automatically give that person Jacoby Brissett.
Okay, yep.
You know, I would give him Jacoby Brissett and Chad Kelly, if they wanted Chad Kelly both, and I would use that pick in the draft on Jacoby Brissett, and then I would take their last pick of the draft and give him Chad Kelly. And that would be my way of saying you got F in the B, but this will help you a little bit.
And maybe you could consider like an additional like pick in the 2020, like a 113 in the 2020 draft or something like that.
I think that would have to be league vote dependent. But I would have a tough time giving the person what some people might look at being too much. But yeah. But I like where your head's at. I like the idea. I'm with Betts. I'm kind of a softy when it comes to this kind of stuff. I hate when people try to, you know, screw people over in trades when news breaks. I hate like when just unfortunate things happen to people. It's at the end of the day, it's for fun. I get it. We're playing for money, but it's not that serious where somebody has to get screwed for everybody else to have a good chance at winning. So, I would err on the side of being understanding of that person's situation.
So Mosier would probably call me out as a flip-flopper when he's listening back to the podcast if I didn't say what my honest take is. And as a commissioner, or even as a player in the league that's happening, a lot of the, like, what my decision would be determined by the cost of the league and like how serious it is. So like if it's a $50 or less like home league, or like just more on the fun side, like, or, you know, $10, $15, I'd be willing to do whatever the league wanted to do. You know, like if they want to give them the extra pick like you're talking about, or go back to that round and start again from there, whatever the case may be. But if it's like a higher stakes, like $100, $200, $300 or more, I might be challenged to really let them do that, because there's the risk for this happening with any team, you know. And like this is it's more about the money when it comes to that and less about the actual fun and games, like, unfortunately. And people get into those leagues to make money. So I think my decision would be determined on the seriousness of the league personally. So I know that's kind of cold hearted.
Yeah, you're a dick though, but that's fine.
Total dick.
You know, another thing that's funny about, it's not funny about this, but you remember the shoulder injury? And I kept saying, yeah, I think he's going to retire because of it. Remember we had it on the podcast, and I thought I had read it somewhere, and I started scouring the internet trying to find the article that I saw about him retiring from the shoulder. Do you remember that on the podcast?
Yeah, vaguely, I do.
Now, yeah, so now maybe it was just me seeing into the future.
Yeah.
Him retiring because of an injury, like he was just over it.
Yeah.
So I was just 2 years into the future, and I should have figured that out and sold my last share, and I didn't.
Yeah, that's bad luck.
Shame on me.
That's unfortunate.
That's bad luck.
And by the way, speaking of bad luck, if you happen to be one of those teams that drafted Luck, or even like Lamar Miller, like if you were in a draft where you took Lamar Miller shortly before his injury, could you tweet at us? Because I'd be really interested to see that. You can tweet at the main handle at FF Dynasty Trades, or me or Izzy. I'm at FF Hercules. Izzy is at DTC underscore Izzy E. I'd love to see those stories. If you have a really, really bad one, I will give you a 1 year subscription for free to the Dynasty Trade Calculator, because I want to see how difficult this has been for the community, like this news that just dropped this weekend. So I thought that's kind of cool. And by the way, if you happen to take one and you got a commissioner like I would be, and you're looking to get in a different fantasy football draft to try to compensate for the difficulty that you face in this one, check out the best fantasy football leagues. They do online drafts. They do money leagues. You can do cash leagues priced starting at $49.99 or higher. And like I mentioned about the high stakes leagues, they go like all the way up to like $3,000. Izzy's in like four or five of those. Three of those $3,000 leagues, right? You're in a bunch of those, I think.
Yep. Yep.
And you typically win. That's pretty good for you. But check out Best Fantasy Football Leagues. You can find them on Twitter at BestFantasyFL. And if you got any questions, just tweet at us. We'll check them out. And like I said, they've got really flexible leagues, six different starting lineup options, 10-man leagues, 12, 14, all the way over the board. Best fantasy football leagues.
I just, speaking of what you said, they said, I see a tweet. You think you're having a bad day? This guy drafted Andrew Luck and Lamar Miller back-to-back picks in his fantasy draft. And it shows him like with his, he looks so devastated. He just crushed. Put his hands on his face. He's just over it.
What's the handle so I can check it out?
At NFL underscore memes.
Okay. That's actually a good follow, by the way.
Oh, you follow them?
Yeah, they're a really good follow. They put stuff on Facebook. They're hilarious. The Captain Andrew Luck handle on Twitter, which is one of my favorite parody ones, and he always speaks as if he's from the early 1900s, and he basically, all of his tweets are writing to his mother and giving updates on what he's doing next. And all of his opponents are like, he makes them sound like real life. It's really funny, actually.
Yeah, but did you see his last one? His retirement one?
I did not. I was waiting to see that.
Yeah, go read it, Hurley. I'm sure you follow him.
I do. At Captain Andrew Luck. There he is. Should I read it on the podcast?
Yeah, read it on the podcast. Yeah.
Okay, dearest mother, the quill has never felt more heavy. I have made the decision to holster my sidearm permanently. I shall battle no more. The decision is difficult, but as the hogs taught me, I must be true to myself. I am coming home to care for you and the farm, Andrew. He is demoted to civilian Andrew Luck, and he's just like the rest of us now.
So is that handle, like, what happens to the handle?
That's devastating for that guy's business.
Every week I was looking forward to those. They're so much fun.
Yep.
Yeah, those are great. Are hilarious.
And by the way, for the listeners, it's at Capt Andrew Luck, C-A-P-T Andrew Luck. It's really good.
His luck is so selfish. That handle gave us so much joy. He couldn't do it for the handle.
Do you think Andrew Luck even considered that upon his retirement? God, no. Like, oh, yeah, I better think about that handle.
And I'd say it's purely as a joke, but
I know. And really quickly, Andrew could call his closest buddies who are in dynasty leagues that own him and say, hey, really quickly, trade me. I'm retiring. That would have been really nice if he did that. I was not one of the phone calls that he made, unfortunately.
He did not make them.
I got it.
Well, you know what's funny is he was supposed to have the press conference on Sunday, and then Shefty leaked it. So he had the press conference last night.
Dirty Shefty.
Yeah.
What a leaker.
Yeah, and he's like, yeah, Andrew Luck was planning on having it yesterday, but he moved it up. Yeah, because you, dick.
That's good for Schefter, bad for Lucky. Yeah, Luck was not prepared for that, you could tell. Maybe that's why I don't think he'd belong in the booth, was because usually when he talks, he's just not prepared, you know? Like, maybe if he prepares, it's a different story.
It's no? not the it's the voice. The yeah, voice it is, the is voice, tough yeah. to listen There's to for 3 hours.
Something.
It's
on.
Not his fault. That's how he was born. But some people have voice for radio. Some people don't.
Yeah.
Some people have voice over. Like, he's probably just better voice over text.
Yeah, and you have a face for radio.
Do you think? Oh my god! Can you imagine Siri trying to, like, decode what Andrew Luck is trying to say?
Yeah, right.
Voice to text.
That'd have been amazing. So Matthew, really quickly, I mentioned we'd circle back to this, but please talk to me about the onslaught of injuries that Luck has faced throughout the course of the last like 4 years that has led up to this decision. And I kind of would like to hear your personal take on his like just healing process and like what he talked about during his presser.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you have to go back a few years to really talk about the injury history for Andrew Luck and kind of how it all went down. I mean, the history is long. There's a lot of injuries. Obviously, the shoulder, I think, is the big one that really started to turn things around in a negative way for Andrew Luck. The issue there is, you know, that injury happened quite a few years ago, and he came back and played through it the following season and actually played pretty well. But now we're hearing all this kind of stuff come out. He definitely wasn't 100% during that time. And it's a situation where it's almost sad, because I wish the medical staff would have pushed him to have the surgery sooner. But of course, hindsight's always 20/20, so you really can't fault them too much for that. And then I think this situation just points out that even after a surgery, you know, I think we take it for granted and everyone assumes, okay, they had surgery, they're good to go. But unfortunately, with healing and with rehab, it just doesn't always work perfectly. It just doesn't go that way for everyone. And there's a lot of factors that we probably don't have time for on this show that goes into that. But yeah, the shoulder injury, I think that year off, having to try to figure out what was going on for so long, I think really did wear on him. Coming back, playing well. Now he's in a situation again this past March with a calf strain that eventually led to whatever's going on here. And it's the same situation where the team couldn't really figure out what to do with him. There's question marks all over the place. They still have never really told us what exactly the diagnosis is, which is kind of shocking in today's medical world. I mean, MRIs, x-rays, CT scans, they should be able to figure out what is going on there in the ankle. And I feel like he's just at a boiling point where he's frustrated with that medical staff and the inability to really get him right and get him back on the field the way he should be. So yeah, you factor all those things in, and then also, you know, a lacerated kidney a few years ago. There was reports at the time that he was having blood in his urine. So like, this guy's been through hell basically on the NFL field. So yeah, it's been a long road for Andrew Luck that all led to this, and I think a lot of the frustration just comes from the lack of a clear known diagnosis with a clear plan.
That's wild. And maybe this Captain Andrew Luck handle is more on base than we thought. Like, Andrew Luck's injuries seem like they're from war, going to war. So geez.
Maybe Andrew Luck couldn't tell the doctors where the pain was because they can't understand him.
Yeah, that's possible too. That's
they just fall asleep that's possible after he starts describing it.
Yeah, can you imagine? Yeah, I want to hear Andrew Luck with Alexa, like him trying to direct Alexa in his living room. See what she comes up with.
Can you give us maybe like an impersonation of what you think that would sound like?
I have no idea. I can't. I'm not good at impersonation, so I'm not even going to try.
Okay.
But yeah. Can you imagine though?
No, I cannot. Yeah, that's too bad. I mean, the injuries have piled up, forced the guy out of the game. We'll see if Izzy's right and he comes back, if the optimistic point of view comes to fruition, or if, like we said, he just stays away because he's fat and happy with his money and he's got a new kid coming, recently married, and he'll just completely disregard this Captain Andrew Luck handle, which is the most important part of all of this. So, Izzy, really quickly, we've got a couple minutes left. Let's run through all of the impacted players surrounding Andrew Luck in this retirement announcement. Let's break it down by position. So start with quarterbacks.
Yeah, so Jacoby, huh? He's first in line. I think people forget he got sacked more than any other quarterback in the league in 2017. Whether that's him holding onto the ball too much or the offensive line was horrible, which it was. I think it's a combination of both. But he led the league in sacks. Interestingly enough, they were bottom three in pass attempts. So imagine how hard it would be to throw the ball bottom three in the league, but get sacked the most.
Yeah.
That is like awful offensive line play, coupled with him holding onto the ball way too long. Okay.
Yep.
Now, this is a different regime. You got Frank in town now. Obviously has a good track record. Brissett has been in the league 2 years longer now. Offensive line has been revamped. It's much better. He's got better skill position players. Everything seems to be better for Jacoby Brissett. Now, may I remind you guys, too, he was top 20 in fantasy points despite taking the most sacks and throwing the least amount of passes, or bottom three amount of passes. So he was putting up fantasy points. He was a low-end QB2 when he played in 2017. So you got to assume that he does have top 12 upside with the new regime and the new weapons and the new offensive line and just the increased, you know, experience that he's had in the last couple of years. So I think him being a potential low-end QB1 is definitely in play. I think it would be, I would say it's a coin flip on if he finishes a QB1 or QB2, and I think that would be a lot higher than people expect.
Yeah, fair enough.
And I by the way, I also like Chad Kelly a lot. I know you've been on the Chad Kelly train for the last month or so, telling people to buy him. I've scooped him up in a couple leagues. I think Chad Kelly, from a pure talent perspective, is better than Brissett. But Brissett has the experience, and Brissett isn't a lunatic. So he definitely has the edge.
Yeah, I agree. The lunacy is an important element. But if he can put those things behind him, I think he has a chance of putting something together. But we'll see. So that's the quarterbacks. Matthew, do you have anything to add on Izzy's discussion around the quarterbacks?
Yeah, I think people comparing, you know, the Colts as in general, their 2017 season when Luck missed the year with the shoulder, to now, I mean, the situation is totally different. So Brissett's done some nice things in this league when he's had the opportunity to play. And let's not forget, he was traded to the Colts literally like 2 weeks before the season started, that season that he played a full year. So, I think that Izzy's spot on there, that people are, I think, more down on Brissett than maybe they should be. Obviously, he's no Andrew Luck, and he's not going to produce like he was. But the offensive line is completely rebuilt and different than it was in 2017. Last season, they were in the top five in terms of rankings, according to Football Outsiders. So he could do some things this year. I think he's going to surprise some people. But, you know, just temper expectations. It's not going to be the same offense. I think you have to give a little bit of a downgrade to everyone because of the quarterback play.
Yeah, I agree with that. Running backs, Izzy, talk to me about, should be the quickest topic. How does this Andrew Luck news impact the running back stable?
We'll never know. I mean, nobody knows. And the reason why nobody knows is that I think it's all on how good or bad Jacoby Brissett is. If Brissett is adequate, it'll be really good for Marlon Mack, because I think he'll get more touches and targets this way. If Brissett is bad, he's going to get more attention, and it's going to be really difficult. They're going to have negative game script, so he's not going to get all the carries. He might get more receptions, potentially, if he's not taken off the field in third downs for, like, Hines. So I think that's up in the air. If Brissett is adequate and their defense is good enough, and obviously their offensive line is what it is, I don't think Marlon Mack will see much of a regression in terms of what people are expecting from a projection perspective. So I will say that Marlon Mack will be just a slight decrease. Will have a slight decrease in his production going into this year.
Wow, nice.
Not from last year, but a slight decrease in projection moving forward.
Yeah. Matthew, anything to add to that?
Yeah, I mostly agree with that. For my rankings this season, I had Mack, I think, at 18 for the running backs, and I dropped him down to 24. So I think there's less of an opportunity
for just scoring. Fantasy or dynasty?
No, for redraft.
Okay.
So for this season, you know, certainly it's a downgrade, but he's still going to be a solid RB2. And I think if there's an owner in your league that's overreacting to this and the price is affordable, you need an RB2, I think he's definitely worth a shot.
No offense, though, solid RB2. You have him at the like the last RB2.
Yeah. Well, still a starter in your lineup, right? Yeah, and injuries and
I think you're painfully low on Mac. Why do you hate Mac so much?
I actually love Mac. If you've ever listened to the Redshirts pod, we play Return of the Mac probably bi-weekly when we talk about him.
Are you sure you know what love is? Didn't Meatloaf ask that question or say that?
Yes.
That's Meatloaf, right?
That's the one.
Foreigner.
Foreigner. I had no idea. So yeah, I don't think you know what love is, Betts, because love would be you have him as a low end RB1. That would be love.
Okay, I like Marlon Mack.
And maybe he's infatuated. Let's go with that.
I still think that he's in the top 18 running backs going into the season.
Okay. Maybe he's a good buy opportunity then for you.
No.
Because maybe people are down on him right now because of they're down on their luck.
I mean, if the guys that like Mac have him as a low RB2, yeah, then yeah, I gotta buy him. But that hasn't been what I've been seeing in Dynasty circles, and definitely redraft. Redraft, his value seems to be higher, which I agree with, than in Dynasty. But yeah. if it is, his value is mid RB2 to low RB2 in redraft. Yeah, I'm still hammering the buy at that price.
I like that. Well, and actually. Like we mentioned earlier in the podcast, we're kind of a fun and cool show because we have a producer that jumps in and out. The producer actually is in just like normal fun and cool show format. He's pointing at his watch to me saying we need to wrap things up. So we're going to have to go into like a little bit of a lightning round for the wide receiver takes.
Yep.
So Izzy, I'm going to throw it to you to talk about start with one wide receiver as a down. Quick take. I'm going to give Matthew down. A quick take and then we're going to move to the next one. So
they're all down. T.Y. Hilton down. He's 30 in November. Not a good age. Down, like Brissett isn't going to throw the deep ball like Andrew Luck. Down, they're not going to throw as much with Andrew Luck gone. Down, Brissett probably likes the tight ends more than he does T.Y. Hilton. Down, his value is plummeting. Down.
Wow, Matthew.
I'll try to put a little bit of a positive spin on it. Jesus, Izzy, that was depressing.
Just depressing.
I mostly agree with you there for sure. I think in general, compared to expectations of what those players were going to do when Andrew Luck was there, yes, it does decrease their value. But when you look at, like I said, you know, 2017, I think that's what everyone's comparing the season to. And obviously, Hilton was like a back end wide receiver two that year. He's pretty average for fantasy. So I don't think it's quite that bad. I think I'm still more in the camp that I'm going to say this now correctly, Izzy. I like T.Y. Hilton still this year. I think he's a mid-range wide receiver too.
I think he's a mid-range wide receiver four.
What's that?
No. I like T.Y. Hilton. I think he's a mid-range wide receiver four. I'd have him in the top 50 wide receiver.
Yeah. Loose definition there. Yeah. So yeah, I still think he's going to be valuable for this season, but like you said, dynasty landscape, the arrow is definitely pointing down.
What about Ebron and Doyle? Anything?
Oh yeah, I mean, I think I know your general idea of it, considering what your wide receivers were.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're both healthy. I think Ebron and Doyle will. I think they'll both be okay, but they're obviously a huge downgrade.
Yeah.
From Luck. Because I still think they were going to do a lot of 12 personnel. I felt like Doyle and Ebron would be on the field a lot.
Yep.
And Paris Campbell, what's funny about this is he went from like the sexiest landing spot to like the worst landing spot in a matter of 2 hours, not even 2 minutes.
Yeah, he's going to go back to Paris.
Funch dead.
Yeah, Funch dead. You got Funch right in the face.
Yeah, Funch right in the face.
That's too bad. That's a good place to stop. I want to bring this back, even though I'm going to have Mosher play us off with the Sarah McLachlan song again to finish the podcast, just because this is such sad news.
We could sit and talk about this all night long.
I do want to end on a slightly positive note. This is kind of like an uplifting kind of tweet I just saw from Adam Schefter. And again, I checked to make sure it was the real Adam Schefter on Twitter to make sure it wasn't a parody account, but the tweet says, and we'll play off with this, Despite the fact that they could have recouped $24.8 million from their former quarterback, Andrew Luck, the Colts already have reached a financial settlement with Andrew Luck in which they will not take back any of the money that they would be owed, league sources tell ESPN. So it's kind of like a heartwarming, they support their quarterback's decision, and like maybe to Izzy's point, like if there's a chance that Luck could return and could return to the Colts, this is a move in the right direction from the organization, but also just in general, like it's kind of a warming feeling to see that the organization supporting their guy that supported them throughout the years and sacrificed so much for them. So
that makes me feel a lot better about my him coming back.
Me too. I agree. I totally agree. That's definitely related. So with that, that's all we got this week. I'm going to keep it really simple. We'll see you guys next week. Hopefully, I'm going to say it in reverse this time. Hopefully, we don't have quite as many big rocks to talk about next week because we just can't handle this much. It's just too much. Big thank you to for Matthew Betts for joining us. And a small thank you for Izzy for joining us. Thank you for listening. Bye. Say goodbye.
That was then, and we have taken different roads. We can't go back again. There's no use giving in. There's no way to know what might have been. No, we'll never.
Have you ever wished you could be an NFL general manager? Well, now you can, thanks to Reality Sports Online, a powerful fantasy sports platform where owners get to build and manage their fantasy team just like an NFL general manager. Reality Sports Online was created by former NFL front office personnel and features a revolutionary free agency auction room, which mimics NFL free agency, enabling fantasy owners to negotiate and sign the NFL's top talent to single or multi-year contracts. The platform can host up to 32 teams and has tons of other cool features in addition to free agency, like a rookie draft, multi-team trades, franchise tags, contract extensions, first-round rookie options, automated contract and salary cap functionality, and much, much more. Test your general manager skills for free at realitysportsonline.com in a mock free agency auction. If you like what you see, use the promo code DTC to receive a 10% discount on your team or league today. Fantasy just got real at realitysportsonline.com.